Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D&Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D&Z. Here are your hosts, D&Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D&Z. I am D, and we got a great show for you tonight.
Yes, we do.
Mets and the O's get desperate at reliever. Everyone sucks in the NFL. And two big-time quarterbacks are battling injuries ahead of a very important football weekend. We'll begin today's show with the best man at your wedding, Lane Kiffin. The Ole Miss coach has decided to take the head coaching job in LSU, despite the fact that Ole Miss football team is heading to the college football playoff. Kiffin said he asked to coach Ole Miss in the playoffs before heading to LSU, but Ole Miss showed him the door. So what does this move by Lane Kiffin say about his character and the character of college football?
All right, let's play a quick game of bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, Lane Kiffin is the KD of college football. My man's out here chasing experiences. Let's go.
I don't know who he is. I don't really know who he is. So, I mean, I'm going to say, you know, no shit on your comment. But you just think back to the Raiders, right? That whole situation. Al Davis going to the podium and saying all those things about him.
The fuck?
Right? And then I think he gets kind of relegated, right? Because then I want to say then he goes to FAU.
So right? From the Raiders, you know, Das Wunderkind, son of Monty Kiffin, the next guy, barely lasts 2 years in the NFL, goes to Tennessee for a year.
Right.
Ends up in USC.
Going to sing old Rocky Top. I remember him saying everybody.
7-6.
Right. Then he goes to USC.
Then he ends up on Saban's staff as the OC. Saban fires his ass.
I remember him getting screamed at by Saban, even though I'm pretty sure they won the national championship that year.
I think he was telling him to run the fucking ball with Derrick Henry, if I remember correctly. Like, run the fucking ball.
He's like losing his mind. I remember he's screaming. And they were winning the game. They were like blowing some team out. And he's like screaming at the top of his lungs.
Yeah. But you know what? Nick Saban is very particular about what that man wants. And I understand. You don't want to piss off old Nick.
He ripped on Sarkisian too. He ripped on
Dabes.
Callahan.
Bill O'Brien. Gone through that staff, man.
Get reamed.
Kirby Smart probably too, because Kirby Smart, I think, was there too.
Yeah.
Ends up at FAU, Florida Atlantic, for a few years, and then 6 years at Ole Miss. You figure, you think he's gotten it out of his system, you know, the Rolling Stone gathering no moss, 6 years there. You figure, like, okay, maybe he's finally settling down.
Three national championships.
Yes, as a coordinator. Yeah.
03, 04, and 2015.
Good for him. And you figure, like, okay, he's done. You know, he's like a couple years older than us. Like, he's not, you know, like, he got the head coaching job at with the Raiders when he was like in his early 30s. He was like Sean McVay, except bad.
Wow. So he won at USC.
Oh shit! I didn't realize he won at USC.
Yeah, and then he won two at USC, and he won. Yeah, so he won in 03 and 04 at USC.
as a wide receivers coach.
Oh.
And then he won with Alabama as
okay.
the OC.
So never as the head guy, always as the coordinator or the or the position coach. Okay. Yeah. So now he's going in, he's replacing Brian Kelly, who just wanted to be with his family. And now it's going to be, you know, Lane Kiffin's turn there in the barrel. What does this say about Lane Kiffin? Is that, you know, an old dog? You can't, you know, he's still got his old tricks, you know? You think he's settling down 6 years at Ole Miss, and then boom, I'll put a little sneaky on you. You know, like, LSU is not in a better position than Ole Miss. Like, yes, I understand that LSU is the bigger profile, the higher profile program, you know, with Coach O and, you know, Brian Kelly and Nick Saban. And, you know, you have Les Miles, you have a legacy there, right? You've got winning there. But Ole Miss is in a better position than them right now. And I don't blame them one bit for telling Lane Kiffin to fuck off when he asked to coach. And they said, we don't want it to be an advertisement for LSU, which is exactly what it would have been, right? Because it's like, and you know deep down in your heart of hearts that he's in those kids' ears. Just enter the portal. I got you. Come on over. Come on over to Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Like, we got this, and we will take it home. But yeah, what does it say about Lane Kiffin is that he's the same friggin' dude that he's always been. And college football, it's all about the money, right? It's all about the money. And we knew this. We knew this beforehand, and it's really, really galvanized now. Especially when you take into account that, you know, there's been a lot of fighting between Brian Kelly and LSU about whether I'm going to get fired for cause, whether I'm going to get fired. Now I'm just trying to save money. Now they're just trying to save money, right? Firing him for cause as opposed to just firing him outright. You know, you save money on his contract. At the end of the day, LSU, college football, it's really not that dissimilar from professional football nowadays. You're going to go where the money tells you to go.
Yeah, so, you know, what does it say about his character? It says he's a louse, right? He's just, no, I mean, he's just, the fact that this
he's
guy
a
just keep,
he's a fucking the, merc.
The fact that this guy keeps getting jobs just, like, is bizarre, right? Because what has he really done to deserve getting the head coaching job anywhere at this point? He's never won as a head coach. And his character, I mean, there was a riot on Tennessee's campus when he left. They had to call the fire department and they had to call the police because hundreds of students rioted at his news conference that he was departing from the school because they were, you know, hey man, you're going to be our head football coach. And he left there to go to USC because Carroll was leaving. And then he did dick in USC.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is I actually think he did a pretty good job in Ole Miss the last 6 years. He really built a program that could be respected. And I do think the players liked him. And I do think that they had a chance to win a game or two in this college playoff. But to just leave, this was the school that gave you the chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, I was right. He was at FAU.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now this was like the first big time program. It's like, all right, Lane, like you've paid your dues, dude. Come on back, man. You paid your dues. And he seemed like he was buying into the culture there, right?
Yeah.
It just seemed like he was bought in. I'm pretty sure, Z, that if he stayed there another 2 years, one day his name would be up in the stadium. Like,
oh, yeah.
like, that's where he was headed. Like, you were headed towards, like, Bobby Bowden land. Like, you were headed towards, like, this. You're about to be, like, one of the best coaches that they've ever had in their history.
I mean, you're looking
at... My worry with him is you're going to go to LSU. What if it doesn't work out in LSU? Right? Like, I'm obviously being negative about it, right? I'm just... Like, if it doesn't work out in LSU, you're done, dude. I would think, right? Is someone else going to give this guy a chance anywhere on any planet?
I think he would have to go... He would have to go the Kingsbury route. I think he would have to go back to the NFL. I think as a coordinator, position coach...
Who would take this guy? Is Dable going to talk for him? Like, is that one of those Alabama or Georgia guys going to talk for him?
If you know that you're only going to get like a couple years out of him before he goes to the next big thing, like, I don't know, man.
It's kind of like an Urban Meyer situation where you just thrown away like all your credibility. Like, it's just the way that you did it. And I get it from an LSU perspective, mm-hmm. right? It's like, hey, man, like, you're our head coach. Like, you got to kind of get here and start recruiting players and starting to build your, like, your coaching staff. Like, you're going to have to start to do these things. So I get that. I get that whole thing. The thing I'm having a tough time with is, like, you had a really good team. And you built this. You built this. You literally built this over the last 6 years. You're peaking. You're peaking now. Like, you're about to go into the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart is on the New York Giants. He was your quarterback, right? Last year. Why throw all that away? Is it really money? I would think Lane Kiffin has money. His father was a coach. He coached in the NFL. He coached for Saban. I would think he has money. And to go coach at LSU, I mean, you just saw what happened to Brian Kelly.
Right.
Like, what makes you think that you could turn this thing around? And granted, like you said, he's going to take the quarterback. He's going to take the running back. He's going to fleece Ole Miss. I don't know. I mean, and as far as the character of college football, it just goes to show you that priorities are all jacked up, right? Like, it used to be like you couldn't really believe a coach that was sitting in your dining room telling you what you were going to do and you were going to get there and everything. You could throw all that stuff out the window because he might not even be there. And that used to be the place where coaches would stay forever, right? Oklahoma's coach, Carroll, Harbaugh. Like, those guys stayed for a while.
Yeah.
And they left for a greener pasture in professional football, not to go play for another team in the division. Like, what the fuck, dude? So it just goes to talk about who he is as a person.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't believe anything he says. You know, they used to say Nick Saban was a vacuum salesman, right? I mean, Lane Kiffin is like, a creep. Like, he's a, yeah.
I mean, you really have to call into question. If you're the family of a recruit and Lane Kiffin comes into your home, sits down and says, I'm gonna, you know, are you gonna, like, how long you gonna be there, coach? Like, you know, this idea of the Rolling Stone gathering no moss, it really, you know, Ole Miss is the longest job he's had. It's 6 seasons. You know what? He's comparable. Good. Here's my question to you. His numbers are eerily similar to James Franklin. James Franklin has about 9 more wins than Lane Kiffin does. Who would you rather have, James Franklin or Lane Kiffin?
Jeez.
James Franklin was at Penn State for 12 years. Like, he never put it in.
Never won, though.
Neither did Kiffin. Like, he won as a position coach.
He was only there 6 years.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'd rather have Kiffin.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
James Franklin never beat anybody. I don't believe, I wasn't scared of Franklin coming to town. I think he really was building something at Ole Miss.
He pissed it away.
he just pissed it away. It's just crazy. Like, and you could, if you want to say it's business and that's football, and you want to go down that road and say all that stuff, then none of it means anything. Like, none of it means anything. Like, it just shows players that you do what's best for you. Mm-hmm. And the recruits he's going to get, Z, are the guys that really believe in themselves, right? Because I don't care what Lane Kiffin does or what Lane Kiffin says. I'm the best wide receiver in the state. I'm the best, you know, defensive end in the country. Or I'm the best, you know, tackle in the town. Like, you have that mentality. You're going to go there and you're just going to do you. I'm doing me. Just like you do you, you know? I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. I'm sure it rubs the players on Ole Miss the wrong way, but they, you know.
Well, in this day of NIL and transfer portal,
despite him, I guess, but.
Well, we're going to see, because I think Charlie Weiss Jr. is going back there, and he's going to be the OC. So I think they let him go back, but not Lane Kiffin. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit of an audition for Mr. Weiss.
Well, the problem is like with Kiffin, you know, because he could coerce players. He could talk to people on that staff. Like, you're a snake, dude. You're a snake in a chicken house. Get out, dude. Just get out. Just get out of here. And I think the story would also be different, Z, if they lost, right? If they sucked, if they didn't make it, if they weren't in the college playoff, right? I think it changes the moment. It's like, all right, I guess you want to go out and go there. Sure. But your team was good. You made the playoff. Like, and I think the other thing with college is the timing's all jacked up.
Yeah.
Like, the transfer portal timing, the commits time. Like, they've got to fix the timing and the schedule. Like, it's Lane Kiffin, to his defense, shouldn't have had to make this decision right now.
That's fair. Right.
I will defend him in that sense, because if we waited until all this stuff blew over, which is a long time, because they don't play the title game until January, right?
Right.
It's a long time, but if we waited until after that, there wouldn't be such hard feelings. I mean, you'd be like, dude, you built this. Why are you leaving? But it wouldn't be like, you know, you got this team to the playoffs. Like, these kids, this is some of these kids on this team, this is all they got. They've peaked. This is their peak.
Yeah.
And they're losing you. That, and you've been with them since they got there. Like, true. All those guys that are on that team, he's been with them since they got there. Like, it's not like he's only been there a year or two, but...
And you know what's interesting is that, did you see who came to his defense on Twitter?
Who?
Skip. Rick Pitino came out and was railing against this. He's like, imagine if my contract expired before the conference tournament, or if expired before March Madness. This is fucking absurd. So,
right. I mean, whatever.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
So, in Pro Bowl, the Chiefs, Rams, and Eagles lost. The Broncos almost lost to the Commies. While the Patriots, Jags, Dallas did win last week, but then they lost last night to the Lions, just to add into the fluff here. So everyone sucks this year, Z. Everyone sucks this year. So I think we should just cancel the Super Bowl. It just doesn't. None of this matters. This is a year you get like a 6 seed or a 7 seed or a 5th seed that wins the Super Bowl, because nobody's good. The Patriots are 11-2. Houston had a key win last weekend. They have a key game this weekend against the Chiefs. So who's the top dog in your power rankings?
You also can't leave out the Bears now after they knocked out said Eagles.
The number one seed in the NFC.
Chicago Bears.
9-3. Caleb Williams can't hit wide open receivers, but they're 9-3, sir.
It's the Ben Johnson effect. Like, it is, because they've also significantly weakened the Lions too. So in the NFC, I mean, you gotta, like, as of right now, you have to put the Bears above the Rams. You have to, you know, in terms of quality victories. The Bears knocked off the Eagles. The Rams lose to the Panthers, who are better than they were last year, but that's not saying much.
The Rams also lost to the Eagles.
The Rams also lost to the Eagles. So if we're comparing, you got to put the Bears ahead of them right now. But to me, you got to look at the Patriots. 10-game heater. That's kind of impressive. Drake May.
Who have they beat, though?
They have a fourth-place schedule. You play who's on your schedule.
You haven't played anyone of consequence. Yeah. You haven't been challenged. You haven't been down. You haven't been down and had to come back. You know? You haven't had a bad day where nothing was working and you had to come back and win. Or come back and compete at a high level. That shit's important.
It is important, but at the same time, 10 wins in a row is 10 wins in a row. Regardless, it's hard to win in the NFL.
Remind me who they opened up and lost against.
That would be the Bengals, I believe. Who was it?
The Vegas Raiders.
Oh, Jesus.
They lost their first.
Oh, Jesus.
The Vegas Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that 11, that 10-game run-off a little bit more?
Let's talk about that 10-game, that 10-game heater where Drake May looks like a goddamn MVP.
That means they started off 0-2, I guess. If he's on a 10-game heater.
Oh, they're 1-2.
They're 1-2.
Yeah, they're 11-2 now. So, yeah, a 10-game heater is a 10-game heater. Like that's important. Like you can't poo-poo a 10-game winning streak.
Plus 110 win point differential.
Can't sneeze at that. Can't sneeze at that. Now, you also have to put the Broncos up there. Broncos have a fantastic defense. They are wrecking fools. Is what they do. It is what the Broncos do.
The team that almost lost to the Giants.
Almost, but didn't. Almost, but didn't. Right? This is the team that straight up destroys people week in and week out on defense.
And they're on a 9-game heater.
Yeah. And Bo Nix does just enough to win.
Mm.
Yeah, it's all you know. Sometimes that's all you need.
Mm.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the other teams of consequence, right? Chargers? No.
Broken hand.
Herbert, broken hand. We'll talk about him in a little while. The Jaguars? You believe in the Jaguars? I don't. I believe that division is dog shit. That's what I believe.
How about
Ravens are 6-6, dude.
How about Trevor Lawrence is dog shit? When that guy drops back to pass, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
I don't think he does either.
I sent you a message earlier in the week. I mean, him and Jameis Winston are basically the same guy.
Fuck it, somebody's down there.
I prefer Jameis Winston over Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
I prefer him. The difference between the two, Trevor has started a playoff game. Jameis has never started a playoff game. Trevor lost that playoff game, even though he had a huge lead in that game. Jameis has a lot more touchdowns. A lot more interceptions, too. But he's got a lot more touchdowns. I mean,
Jameis is prolific.
Jameis will probably never be a starter in the NFL again. And I'm not so confident Trevor Lawrence won't be the Kyler Murray in 2 or 3 years.
I would say more like the Daniel Jones type, the guy who will keep getting chance after chance after chance because he was a number one overall pick. There is arm talent there. He has the quarterback look, right? Kyler Murray's a second baseman, right? He's not going to get much more than this. Like, when you look up, like, central casting of a quarterback, who is it? It's Justin Herbert. It's Trevor Lawrence. It's Daniel Jones. It's Sam Darnold. If you were looking for a quarterback at a central casting, that's who you would look for. Like, that's, you know, they look the part. Now, Trevor Lawrence sometimes doesn't play the part, but he will certainly look the part. So he'll keep getting chance after chance after chance. The Bucs disappoint me. We put our faith in the Bucs, they lose.
Yeah.
We put our faith in the Seahawks, they lose. We put our faith in the Cowboys. We both picked the Cowboys. They lost.
And he did.
It's like, what the fuck, man? Who are we supposed to back?
But Dak,
it was 20-9 at the half. they put up 30. It was 20-9 at the half. Thanks for coming. Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's one of those years where you just have to, like, see who's hot at the moment, and that's who you got to roll with. And if they lose, they lose. Because there's really – There's no head and shoulders team, right? Last year it was the Eagles. It's been the Chiefs perennially for the past, you know, the past 5 years. You know, you had the Bucks when Brady was there. You don't have that anymore. Like, there, it's a lot of decent teams, a lot of good teams. Nothing, there's no greatness. There's no greatness out there. So I firmly agree with you when you say that a lower seed can get hot and run the table. Like, this could be the Niners' year.
He was canceling the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. No. Bad Bunny's already paid for. They have to do the Super Bowl. But, the Niners can finally make their run, right? The Packers can come from sixth, and it's not totally crazy, you know? Buffalo. This could be Buffalo's year. They're seventh seed. This could be the year, right? Mm. Everybody's down. Everybody's down.
Even make the playoffs.
Right. That's the thing. Well, they got the Bengals this week. That should kind of free things
Joe
up.
Joe Burrow, 3-0.
Oh, shit. But
I'm just saying, Higgins is playing.
That defense is still bad.
That's going to be a lot of points scored in that fucking game.
Bet the over, kids. Bet the over. But then you have teams like the Steelers you mentioned, the Texans, the Chiefs. Like, you have guys knocking on the door. The fucking Dolphins. Like the Dolphins.
That guy might have saved his job.
It's unbelievable.
He might have saved his job.
He's ripping clouds on the friggin' sidelines, and he may very well get into this thing.
If he finishes above 500, he might save his job.
They're going to keep him. They're going to keep him, and they're going to keep Tua. Like, that's I don't necessarily agree with the fact that they should keep Tua, but I think both of them keep their jobs. But this shit's wide open this year, man. It is absolutely wide open. And crazier things have happened. So
who's number one in your power ranking?
I got to go with the Patriots. To go with the Patriots just on the strength of the 10-game heater. And then you got to go Broncos, too. I think I have to go in that order. I think I have to go Patriots, Broncos, Bears in that order. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my top three.
Gotcha. I think the Rams are the number one team for me. Just because I know they lost to Carolina, but they fell asleep in that game. You know, they thought they were going to walk into that team. They thought they were going to walk into that game and slap that team. And Carolina's got a lot of moxie, and they're playing for something. Like, you know, they're playing for their coach. Their quarterback is like on the come now, and you know they weren't going to let the Rams just walk in there. You know, they're a professional football team for sure. I've seen the Rams go toe to toe with the Eagles. I've seen, you know, they have Stafford, they have Devontae Adams, they have Puka Nacua. They've got a really young defense and a smart defensive scheme that keeps them in games. You know, so I can't remove them from the rankings. I think if they were to play Chicago in Chicago, they would torment and destroy Caleb Williams. I just think they would. I do. And I don't think Menungai or Swift are going to get things going against the Rams in Chicago, you know? And then my number two is the Broncos. So I'm sticking with my Super Bowl teams. I think the Broncos, despite Bo Nix's woes, they are a tough out. They're a tough team to go toe-to-toe with, mainly because of their coach. Secondly, because of their defense. And thirdly, because they do have a young quarterback who, despite him, they manage to stay in games and win games. You know, he's got a good side and a bad side. He's another one where I can see him in 2 or 3 years being your Kyler Murray or your Trevor Lawrence or your Sam Darnold, just because you're just not consistent enough, brah. Like, I don't know what happened. We talk about Trevor Lawrence, like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen when he drops back to pass. For Bo Nix, I don't know what guy I'm going to see every quarter. Like, every quarter, there's a different guy that shows up. It's like, you're definitely in your second year. Like, you just, like, what was that? What was that possession? Like, did you check to these plays? Like, what are you doing? And then there's another quarter where it's like, whoa, like, he just put up 30 points. And he's dropping back and letting it rip. It's like, whoa, like, what happened? Like, so clearly is a growth thing there.
I have no faith in the Patriots. I have zero. I think the Bengals could probably go into Foxborough and beat them at this point. Like, I just do. It's just because they're not. They haven't been challenged.
The Bills and the Bucks. Those are their signature wins. I would say those are pretty good wins.
Those are trash teams. The Buffalo Bills are a trash team. They're trash. They're trash this year. They might not even make the playoffs. And Pittsburgh is absolute garbage. Like, I mean.
We're gonna talk about this in a minute, but
the Pittsburgh is absolute dog shit. Like dog shit. Let's get into it. Pittsburgh lost to the Bills at home over the weekend. Your two teams that you think are good. It was a painful game to watch. If you watched it, it was absolutely painful. Rodgers got drilled by Boza coming out of halftime, shelving him for two possessions. And the Bills ran for 249 yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Chants of Fire Tomlin could be heard loud and clear as the stadium emptied out with less than 4 minutes to go in the game. Kyle Rudolph came in for two possessions and looked like he never played football before. He couldn't complete a pass. Then he overthrew a guy and it was intercepted. They're like, all right, Rodgers, you come back in. Rodgers like, all right, go back in. Nope. Are you serious? Oh, man. Because, I mean, it's just, you cannot think that at 41, 42 years old, you're going to drop back, sit in the pocket, scramble around, and throw the ball when you got a broken wrist in your left hand. I know on that hit from Boza, he saw stars. This man hit him in his back, and Rodgers and Boza both fell on Rodgers' broken wrist. And he just laid there, almost in the fetal position, holding his wrist, because he wanted to scream, but he couldn't. That's how bad it hurt. And it's cold. And he's like, you know, I think he thought he was done because they were done by that point. They were down by two scores. But then Kyle Rudolph looks so bad. Mason Rudolph looks so bad. Like, you got to go back out there, man. He's like, go back out there? Seriously? So when asked about the chance for Fire Tomlin after the game, Tomlin said he agreed with those chants. Do you?
10-6, 12-4, 9-7, 12-4, 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, 11-5, 10-6, 11-5, 13-3, 9-6-1, 8-8, 12-4, 9-7-1, 9-8, 10-7, 10-7, 6-6. That is Mike Tomlin's resume. So, spoiled. That is what the Pittsburgh Steelers fans are coming off as. Spoiled brats. Now, I understand that there was one championship in there. And you can argue that it was with Bill Cowher's team. That's as much on the GM. That's as much on front office and ownership as it is on Mike Tomlin. They're perennially in the playoffs. They're in the mix. Now, the defense in years past, they've been letting up a lot of points, right?
This is the highest paid defense in the NFL, mm-hmm. and they're the oldest defense in the NFL, with the average age being 29 years old.
They're a -8 in their point differential. They've only scored 281 points this year. They've given up 289. So that is, it's not what you think of when you think of Steeler football, right? You think of the Steel Curtain, you think of Troy Polamalu, you think of Kevin Green, you think of Mean Joe Green, you think of, you know, guys who beat the shit out of you. Like, that's what you think of, right? Black and blue division.
Yvonne Kirkland.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, yeah, that's what you think of. You think of guys that are going to go out there and maul you.
Cornell Lake.
Oh, my God.
Rod Woodson.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Casey Hampton.
Those were the days. Those were the days. You're not getting the same results. And on top of that, you're still missing Big Ben. This offense has not clicked since Ben retired. They've been trying to replace him. Didn't work with Kenny Pickett. Didn't work with Russ. Didn't work with Justin Fields. Isn't working with Aaron Rodgers.
I thought Justin Fields was undefeated, though, as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Well, yeah, that's fantastic. It was so undefeated. It was so great. They didn't even want him back. It's like, bro, you broke the mold.
We're good, man.
We're all good. Right.
We're good. Dude, we'll fucking figure it out.
Spread those wings. It's okay. I appreciate it. Like, Duck Hodges has won.
The Jets are offering me 2 years, $40 million. Fuck off.
Yep. No. I'm good. It is very telling when
hit this, man. Hit this.
Why can't I be quarterback? That's why. Oh, sit on. Shut up.
40.
So,
2 years.
Absolutely absurd. Years. Absurd. And you had to go bring in fucking 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers to take the reins here and try and get you over the hump. After playing this bullshit, will he, won't he? He's as bad as Brett Favre. He's as fucking bad as Brett Favre. And yeah, not great. Not great. So, you know, the Steelers fans are spoiled by the success of the Tomlin regime. However, both things are true. The offense has been dog shit, and the defense is dragging because the offense has been dog shit. So you fix the quarterback, you fix that, and all of a sudden, the defense doesn't have to be out there and save our ass every goddamn week. Right? And then suddenly, both sides of the ball are rejuvenated, and everything is okay. The problem is they're still trying to replace Ben Roethlisberger. How long did it take the Miami Dolphins to replace Dan Marino?
Still working on it.
How long did they take the Patriots to replace Brady, though?
We think right now with Drake Metcalf. You thought he was Drake maybe up until like 2 weeks ago.
I did.
You did.
I did.
Now, how long did it take they still think that they're not sure about Bo Nix, right? How long did it take them to replace John Elway? It was a band-aid with Peyton Manning. Like, you couldn't really say they replaced it with Peyton. Like, a few years of Peyton Manning. But long-term, no. The Bills finally replaced Jim Kelly.
Well, hold on. The only thing I'm going to say is they had a couple of guys come in there and play pretty good. Jake Plummer came in there and played pretty damn good for the Denver Broncos.
He was fine.
He played pretty damn good.
Jay Cutler was
Tim
okay.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, God.
Pretty clean playoff game.
Oh,
they
God.
Decided to move on from him, but he was all right. They've had their guys. They've had their chances. They've had players. Much better than the Dolphins. Chad Pennington was probably the last guy that played for the Dolphins that was really good.
Not Ryan Tannehill.
Jay Fiedler was good for a year or two.
Not Ryan Tannehill. Culpepper? Dante Culpepper. But yeah, I feel like both sides need to take a chill pill here. And I think they need to realize that they're still in the mix too. Like this division at 6-6. Like right now you're tied for first.
All right, but if you were going to give a percentage of what the chances are of them actually...
Zero. They're not going to fire him.
No. I was going to say, okay, what are their chances, percentage-wise, of going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl?
Zero. Because they did not improve the quarterback position.
Right. So here's what I'll say is, like, I'm of the mantra and the mindset, and I agree with you. I think if Mike Tomlin got fired, he would get a new job tomorrow. No doubt about it. But it almost comes up as like it's just time, dude. Like it's just time for you to move on.
Right.
Just like it was time for Andy Reid to move on. Like, yeah, he could have stayed in Philadelphia, but look, both sides benefit. He left. Philly won a Super Bowl. And then
the Chiefs are a dynasty.
They actually win two Super Bowls since he's been gone. And also, Andy went down there and he won three or four Super Bowls. So it worked out for everybody. I think it's just time for a new voice. It's time for a new direction. I was skeptical of this whole Pittsburgh Steelers taking on Aaron Rodgers. But I thought that defense was going to be better. The Buffalo Bills ran the same running play 29 times. And the Steelers couldn't stop it. They ran the same play 29 times. They had over 250 yards rushing. They broke the rushing record against the Steelers all time. You see when they were running the ball Cook was getting to the second level before he was even touched. You don't have the defensive linemen firing out. They're all standing up. Like, nobody's trying to get leverage. It's like, I don't know if it's bad coaching or what. Like, are you guys seeing this on the film? That they shouldn't have got blown out by the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills aren't that good, Zeke. They were playing without both their starting tackles in that game. Are you kidding me? They can't throw the ball. What wide receiver on that team scares you? And they're going to take you for 250? You're supposed to be... They were lauding. They were saying how great their defense was in the summertime. They were the number one defense. They're going to be the best defense ever assembled. The best defense this year. They fucking suck. And the other part is Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think... When I look at Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, when they went to Denver and when they went to Tampa, they had a mission, right? They knew what they were going to do. I mean, the Peyton Manning Broncos, where he threw for 50 touchdowns, is just like, it was unbelievable. It was incredible. But they were a force to be reckoned with. When Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he utilized all those weapons, Mike Evans, Godwin, Gronk came. They had Leonard Fournette. Like, they got LeSean McCoy.
The immortal Scotty Miller.
Where Scotty Miller? We're ready to go, right? And anytime Tom or Peyton got into trouble, what'd they do? They threw the ball in the ground. They threw it out of bounds. They threw it away. This guy, Aaron Rodgers, is dancing in the pocket. What the fuck are you doing? You have a broken wrist. Get rid of the ball. If it ain't there, throw it away. I mean, I don't know who are you running away from at 41, 42 years old? You ain't running away from nobody.
Nope.
You won't die. So the whole thing is like him coming to the Steelers is supposed to elevate this team to another level. And I don't see that. And I don't know if that's his fault. I don't know if that's Tom's fault. It's just, it's like you said, it's not working. And he already signed on to be there, knowing they didn't have a running game. They don't have a running game. I mean,
Warren's proving not to be the guy.
Yeah. I mean, how could you think he was going to be the guy? I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what they were thinking there. But we're going to find out what happens. But here you go. True or false, the Steelers play the Ravens this weekend in a key game. True or false, the loser of that game will not make the playoffs.
True.
Right.
This is a knockout. But you know what? There is no guarantee that either one... This is the fucking crazy-ass world that we live in right now. There's no guarantee that either one of those teams make the playoffs.
It'll be hard for...
Healthy Burrow. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard, but it's doable.
Well, that happened last year, if you remember. It came all the way down to like the last... Well, they didn't have control of their future, but they won all the games that they needed to win. Right. I think they lost one game that messed them up. I think they lost their last game that messed them up.
Pretty sure that sounds about right.
But it all came down to like somebody else winning or losing, and that happened. It could. I highly doubt it. They shouldn't let any of the teams in the North into the playoffs. They're all terrible. You saw the Browns. The Browns activated Deshaun Watson's 21-day window. Did I send you that?
No, for what?
I guess he can play this year.
Why?
I don't know.
That's pointless. To showcase him for a trade?
I don't know. Why is Jaden Daniels playing this weekend?
No, they just don't like him. Like, it's just like, I'm going to kill this man.
I'm going to kill you.
It's like,
what? I'm going to kill you, Lloyd. Browns opened up 21-day practice window for Watson.
Trade him to the Saints. Just trade his ass to the Saints.
That's a terrible contract.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
So you got Sam Darnold injured his ankle. Justin Herbert fractured his hand. He had surgery. He's supposed to play on Monday. Lamar Jackson dealing with a load of issues. He didn't practice yesterday. He was a full participant today, but he doesn't look 100%. All these guys are questionable this weekend, but which player is more important to their team?
That's a Trey Lance question.
Backup in Chargers.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Your boys, Trey Lance, Drew Locke for Seattle. Love Drew Locke.
That's my guy.
That's your guy.
My guy.
And then you got Snoop. You got Snoop for Baltimore.
Lamar looks terrible.
He's been beaten.
Lamar looks terrible. He has no explosion. He looks lost out there.
Mm-hmm.
When he backs up the pass, it looks like he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what's going to happen.
No. And he's running for his life again because that
he can't. And he can't run. No. He can't. But he can't even run. He can't run. He can't explode. He can't. He doesn't have that other gear right now.
No, because he's been beaten hell. It's wear and tear.
He's hurt.
Now, you're looking at Sam Darnold. I think I can disqualify Sam Darnold because he's got Walker and Charbonnet. Like, they have a running game that they can lean on. Like, Sam Darnold could miss a game, and I think he'd be all right. Long term, you need him because Drew Locke is not he's a backup. You know, Justin Herbert. Trey Lance is the backup, but then, I mean, you have what, Nadal? Like, you have Vidal, and then Keenan Allen is, like...
Hampton's supposed to come back this week.
I mean, we'll see if Omarion Hampton comes.
I think they're playing each other.
That makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
I think they're playing each other, right?
I think so. But, I mean, Lamar has been the engine for the Ravens team the entire time. And we've seen how valuable he is, right? Like, they just, without Lamar, yes, Snoop Huntley was able to.
Chargers playing Eagles.
Oh, I'm on it. Ooh.
Monday night.
Ooh. Mm. That's gonna be a rough one for Justin Herbert. But, I gotta say that the most valuable to his team. Like, it's still got to be Lamar. Like, it's still, I'm looking at it, and it's still got to be Lamar, you know? Because without them, what do they have? Right? Lamar has been the focal point. He's been the engine for this thing the entire time. They have Derrick Henry, but they don't unleash Derrick Henry like they should. There's no fear. Like, there's no defense can pin their ears back and go after the Ravens when Lamar is not there because they know they don't have to worry about him running for 20 or 30 yards. He has that level of respect, you know? And we've seen it. Like, Cooper Rush came in and was mediocre at best. Snoop Huntley, like, had to be, like, a game-time starter for them to pull the sneaky. I think that as Lamar goes, the Ravens go. Like, the Seahawks could get away with it. I don't believe in the Chargers. I really don't believe in the Chargers. Because I've as prolific as Justin Herbert can be, I've also seen him shit the bed in the playoffs and throw 4 picks. Yeah. So, if I'm going to rank him in terms of most important to his team, I got to go Lamar, then Sam, then Herbert.
So, for me, I think... the most important to their team, I'm going to agree with you, it's Lamar, because he elevates their play, but only when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Not a healthy Lamar is this. We see how terrible the Ravens are. And that's on both sides of the ball. Like, they're just a bad team. They're a bad football team. I'm excited to see if Trey Lance plays.
I think
he's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. I think we're all going to be surprised. It's going to be some, like, Mac Jones type play. Like, he's going to be, if he plays, I think he's going to be okay. I do think Herbert's important to that team, but Vidal has been running really well, and Hampton's coming back. You can rely on the running game, and you can play action with Ladd McConkey and Keenan Allen. I don't think they're in a terrible place, you know?
Yeah.
And then
Quentin Johnston, no?
No, he's terrible. With Sam,
Drew Locke's my guy. And Sam has some really, really bad fucking games. Like with the team he has, he's got... There is a lid to Sam Darnold. There's yes. a lid. There's a lid to him and how good he can play and what kind of defenses he can play against and succeed against. So, you know, his team will have to win despite him
sometimes.
If they're going to go to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. But the Seahawks team is very good. But I love Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock is a fine player and could win a game or two if he had to. So I think I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. I mean, just because when he is 100%, he elevates their play. But I have a feeling that the way he's playing right now, that's going to be the Lamar Jackson we see for like the next 5 years, just because he's older. I mean, he's broken down. He's taking a lot of hits. When that hamstring pulls, changes everything, man, because you just don't know how far you could push it. You just don't know what you can do. And then you start like, you know, anticipating different moves and different other things you do. And that messes you up. So I don't foresee any of those teams going far.
So, I mean, with Lamar, it's about time. But now that his legs, right, this is what everybody was concerned about, that at what point do you start becoming more of a pocket passer? Answer's probably got to be now. Like, you figure you got to change over to a West Coast offense, dink, dunk. That's really where he shines. Like, you're the occasional shot over the top. I think that would be something that would benefit him. But you got to protect him.
They're also going to have to go get a number one receiver because Flowers ain't that.
Yeah.
You know, he's a two. Hollywood Brown, I know Hollywood Brown is on the Chiefs now, but even when Hollywood Brown was on the Ravens, he was a two. You know, they were really successful when Mark Andrews was good enough to be the number one tight end, number one receiver.
Right.
But he started slipping last year, even though they just signed him to an extension, which I didn't understand. And the Derrick Henry, they're wasting the whole point of getting Derrick Henry, because this ain't going to last forever too. He's 31, yeah. 32 years old. You know, how much longer is he going to be playing at a high level as big as he is?
The personnel is there. That's the frustrating part.
To a certain extent, I mean, I don't think this defense is that good. They're either not good, that good, or they're not playing that good. I'm not sure which it is.
Right.
Because they have the personnel, but they're not tackling. They're not stopping the run. I don't know what's going on.
Am I crazy here to think that if they ever added like a Brandon Cooks type, that they could run a similar offense to what the Patriots are running with the two tight end set?
No.
And just have somebody just go deep like Randy Moss did?
No.
I think they could have some success with that.
I don't think he's capable. I don't think quarterback-wise he's capable of that. You're asking him to be like a Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning type? I just don't see that coming from him. I know. You're better off, you know, becoming more of a running football team and play action passing. You have to, but you need to get a number one wide receiver, a big 6'4", 245-pound guy who can go get the ball, go over the middle and go get the ball. You know, they don't have that. So they'd have to work on getting that first.
Maybe call the Eagles about A.J. Brown, because I'm sure they're going to dust up again.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be the way to go, because then he'll be the only big dude to throw to. And Devonta Smith gets open. That's the problem.
Right.
It's like, Devonta Smith's getting open. Why am I going to throw you the ball? Like, he's open. Let me just throw him the ball. That's the problem.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Moving over to baseball, the Mets signed relief pitcher Devin Williams to a $51 million deal.
God damn it.
While the Orioles signed relief pitcher Ryan Helsley to a two-year, $28 million deal. Which team will have more buyers? Which team will have buyer's remorse quicker? So it sounds like Diaz, they're not sure they're going to get Diaz back, which is why they went and got Williams, right?
You had your bets 100%.
Right.
They're still in the market for Diaz. So, and they can slot Williams back, and he said he'd be amenable to it. And that's Diaz's job. Sorry, dude. Like, we re-sign our guy. Like, we're putting him back in
the
closer.
How about the Yankees change their facial hair policy for this dude, and this motherfucker lasted like 6 months?
They wouldn't change it for David Price. Like, they wouldn't change it for David Price. They changed it for him. Who would you rather have? I would have rather had David Price. Like, so there's that. I know WAR is a fake stat, but Devin Williams pitched to a negative 0.3 WAR last year. Ryan Helsley was merely a 0.1. So there's that. If, you know, Helsley was tipping his pitches when he got to the Mets after, you know, he was crappy in St. Louis, thought he fixed it, and then somehow it got worse. And still coming out to his closer entrance and getting fucking lit up like a Christmas tree. Like, well done. In terms of, in short term, the Orioles are going to be in trouble, man. Like, that, the ballpark dimensions with Ryan Helsley, that is going to be a fucking nightmare. Hey, Citi Field is a pitcher's ballpark. Devin Williams, like, he has a year under his belt. He's not in the Bronx anymore. Queens is a different animal than the Bronx. The expectations are not what they are with the Yankees. The culture is different, right? It's not World Series or bust. It's not World Series or failure.
Meet the Mets. Everybody come meet the Mets.
They are Met fans in
win or lose, we still booze.
Right. That's it. You know, we're going to the cake corner.
Come on in.
That's it. We're going to the cake corner. Let's go. That, you know, Uncle Stevie just got his casino approved. Like, shit's going down, man. Etihad's going to be there in 2 seasons. You know, NYCFC is going to play out there. Queens is going to be banging. Like, it's going to be crazy out there. But, I mean, this all hinges upon Diaz. If they sign Diaz, Devin Williams will be in a better spot because he'll be in the eighth inning. You'll have Rayleigh, you'll have Williams, you'll have Diaz. That's pretty friggin' good. That's pretty good. Helsley, the Orioles are trying. I'll give the Orioles credit for trying, but they're 2 years away from being 2 years away. Right? They have good young talent, but not much else. They have Henderson, they've got Holiday, they've got Rushman, but I'm not impressed.
You don't think they could become next year's Blue Jays?
No. I think they're 2 years away from that. I think they need to invest more in the rotation. Their rotation's a problem. Their rotation is not very good. So, bully for them to try for trying
bully,
to.
Bully.
You know, you're trying to replace Felix Bautista. You're trying to replace Gregory Soto. You bring in a guy like Helsley. Hopefully, you know, you hope that you can fix his pitch tipping problems. But I gotta say, after watching both of these guys, I'm not enamored with either one. Like, neither one can say they had a really good year last year, right? Devin Williams pitched to a 4.79 ERA. Helsley pitched to a 4.5. So they're both both reclamation projects. I think Helsley had a 9 ERA as a Met.
That's fucking, you know, great.
So maybe the change of scenery, the less smaller market, will do him good. He came from St. Louis. So maybe going back to a smaller market will do him some good. But begrudgingly, I think Devin Williams is going to have a better year. So Ryan Helsley is my choice. He's going to, you know, the Orioles are going to be like, what the fuck do we buy? What are we paying you for?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Think about what I'm going to say right now. I think that the Mets will have more buyer's remorse because I think they're expecting more from Devin Williams than what he's capable of doing. I think with the Orioles signing Ryan Helsley to a 2-year, $20 million deal, they're like, all right, like,
we'll trade you.
Whatever, yeah, we'll get what we get, like, with this, you know. We're rolling the dice here. We need a reliever. You're a reliever. You're playing the majors. It kind of works here. $28 million. All right, we can do that. Now, the Mets decided to go get Devin Williams, who had a pretty bad year with the New York Yankees, and they gave him $51 million. And like we agreed, he is the backup plan if they don't get Diaz.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to get Diaz, which means this man is going to be asked to close games in Queens.
So you know what I would do?
What?
I would say, I would go
start Wedman.
Nope. Clay Holmes. Get your ass. So Clay Holmes, you're the closer. You are my opening day starter.
Starter, one or the other. Like
last year, so you were my opening day starter. Now you're my fucking closer.
So I saw a stat. I don't remember the numbers exactly, but what it's basically saying is that Devin Williams gave up the majority of his runs in like a 5 or 7 game span.
Yeah.
And that's why his ERA was so high, and that's why his numbers were so bad. So don't look at his numbers. Look at he did pitch well in the beginning of the season, and he did pitch well in the middle of the season. It was kind of like the summer and on where it kind of all went to shit.
Right. Well, he's my a change argument, of pitcher, so that's right, the issue.
Right. So my argument against this is that's what cost the Yankees the division. Was really those 5 or 7 games that he did not play well. That really cost them the division and kind of changed everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I think the Mets are going to have significant buyer's remorse. I think this was a bad idea. I don't know what he was thinking inside. Well, I know what he was thinking. He saw $51 million. He's like, hell yeah, I could do that. Fuck yeah, I'll be there.
And it's also David Stearns. Like, there's familiarity with the Brewers pitching lab that they brought over to Queens.
Right, because if I understand this was the guy that drafted him or scouted him, yes, or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I kind of get that, but man, I just
I mean, it didn't end well. It did not end well. It didn't start very well. The Yankee bullpen in general was a shambles last year. Weaver was up and down. Williams was up and down. Leiter was awful. They non-tendered him. Ian Hamilton was not good. But the Yankee bullpen was basura in a lot of instances.
Which I hear there, that's the one thing they're trying to do, is they're going to put all their attention into bolstering their bullpen. At least that's what I hear they're going to be doing.
And they did that, right? At the trade deadline, they brought in Doval, they brought in Bednar. Like, this, we have three closers in, we have four closers if you include Weaver. We have four closers in our bullpen. How many closers do you really have? You got Bednar. I mean, David Bednar was good for them last year. So 1 out of 4. That's awesome. Luke Weaver is on the market. He's fielding offers potentially as a starter. Doval is still there. We'll see. But, you know, I've also heard from Michael Kay, if you were listening to the Michael Kay show, the Yankees are really considering trying to get under the $300 million luxury tax.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. So there's a possibility that a guy like Rodon might be had. They might be moving. They might be shifting away from guys like Tucker or Bellinger, for that matter.
You're going to lose Bellinger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they had Grisham taking the qualifying offer in their cards.
No. It's like, no. Shit.
It's like, look, Trent. It's like, deal.
What? Sign. Done.
Fuck.
I'll see you in April.
He said yes? Son of a bitch. So, if we believe what we're told here, the Yankees could be in flux, which explains why some things, like, you're kind of bargain basement shopping here a little bit. But for what it cost them, like, it cost them Nestor Cortez. Okay. Like, that ball that Freddie Freeman hit is still going. Caleb Durbin, he seems to be an okay prospect.
Oh, shit.
If that ain't Shaquille O'Neal, that baby's out of here. But, yeah, like, In terms of return on investment,
motherfucker hadn't pitched in over a month. Why did you bring him in? Me? You want me to go pitch to Freddie Freeman?
Hey, man, right you know now? What? Honestly, like, I thought that it would have been a decent matchup if he was actually like in rhythm and pitching well,
like had pitched like in the last 5 days,
something like that. But you groove a first pitch fastball. What the fuck you think is going to happen? And none of his Louboutin shit did it.
Freddie likes him in, so jam him.
I want Parkman. The bases are loaded. The bases are loaded. The
whatever
game is
you tied. Do, Nestor, don't throw it over the middle.
Oh, shit. Yeah. And then, you know, ultimately, it was a gamble. It bit Brian Cashman in the ass. You kind of figured they weren't going to bring him back anyway. So, from the Yankee standpoint, it's like, you know, it cost you only a third base prospect that you probably, or second base prospect you probably weren't going to bring up at any point. So, it ends up, you know, it was a risk. It didn't work. The Mets, this is a win now team, right? You would have to say that the Mets are They're gonna try to rebuild this sucker on the fly.
We're gonna try.
We're battling.
We're gonna try. Well, right. He's battling.
What do you think? She's done. Throwing grapefruits out there,
Lou.
But I mean, it's confusing because you're dealing off Nimmo, but then you're signing Williams, right? Are you a contender or are you rebuilding? What the fuck are you doing? And he has to have better results. He has to. Like, familiarity with the system that they're putting in place, a year under his belt in New York. Like, I got to think that Devin Williams is going to have – I think he's going to definitely have a bounce back. Because 479, like, that ain't going to cut. That ain't going to cut it for the Scranton Rail Riders. That ain't going to cut it for the Binghamton Mets. That ain't going to cut it for Carousel Shoes. It don't matter. 479 out of your closer? Get the No. I'll throw it. You make sure you catch it.
It will if it ever gets to me. They're hammering the slow crap.
So you're on to stand the strain of throwing that fastball.
I'm a change a pitcher. It's not changing.
Yeah. The airbender. Oh, the airbender. Well, here's to hoping that he's finally used to pitching in New York and the airbender will bend again.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events. Specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon Team, shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
It's time for the mail route on the Fade Route. And if you want to be featured, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at Fade Route Podcast, or drop us a line on X at Fade Route DNZ. Note sent.
We have a full mailbox today, and if you want your email featured on the mail route, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, slide in our DMs on IG at Fade Route Podcast, drop us a line on X at Fade Route DNZ. Email number one comes from Tyler in Nichols Hills, Oklahoma. Hey guys. The Thunder are currently 21-1 to open the NBA season. What are the chances they threaten the record set by the 96 Bulls and the 2016 Warriors?
So the Bulls only lost 10 games and the Warriors only lost 9 games, but the Bulls won the championship. The Warriors didn't. I don't see a team beating them. At the clip they're going right now, they're on pace to only lose a handful of games. So I think there is a good chance. They're young, they're healthy, they're well coached. The Lakers are not better than them. The Nuggets are probably the only thing that's really a challenge to them, I would think, right now. If the Rockets can get rolling, the Rockets could be a team that challenges them, but I think they are a serious contender to knock off one of those records.
If we're doing percentages, I would probably say they have a 60% chance. Like, they have a decent enough chance, but it is really health. It's health. You know, they're remarkably healthy. They are a remarkably healthy team. Now,
they also play team basketball.
Yes.
As much as SGA is their best player, he's also a facilitator. You know, it's not all him. And they play defense.
It's true. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, almost 33 points a game, 7 assists. So that's pretty darn good. Isaiah Hartenstein, 11 rebounds. Like, it's kind of spread around a little bit. You figure the law of averages is that they're going to slow down, right? Eventually, there's regression to the mean. They've played a lot of basketball in the past season and change, you know, winning the whole thing last year. Remarkably healthy, right? Like I said, I think you could probably withstand losing Williams. They just brought Williams back, right? He's only played 3 games. You can afford to lose Chet for a little while. I don't know if you can survive losing SGA. Like, he's such a prolific scorer that I don't know how you make that back in the aggregate based on who's on this team. I just don't see where is it Andrew Wiggins? Like, who would pick up the slack if anything were to happen to SGA? So there's an outside chance. There's an absolute chance that these things can happen. But last year was a perfect storm, right? No pun intended with the Thunder. But it was an absolute perfect storm for them. We'll see how things go, but they have as good of a chance as anybody right now.
So an interesting stat that I found, which I really thought was interesting. The 2016 Golden State Warriors, they scored like no other team we ever saw before. They were averaging about 115 points per game. That was best in the NBA. If that team played in the NBA today, they would be 20th in the league.
Whoa.
That's how much scoring is up in the NBA.
Whoa.
A guy like Luka Doncic usually averages around 9 free throws a game. He's averaging 14 free throws a game.
It's a lot more free throws being shot. There's obviously a lot more three-pointers being hit. This is the highest scoring NBA that we've seen, where today the average is around 114 points for all teams. That's bananas.
That's insane.
Because that Golden State Warriors team was just unbelievable. Their scoring. And the game was over at halftime. Their guys usually didn't even play in the third and fourth quarters because they were winning by so much.
Yeah.
And now that would be only around 20th, 21st in this NBA. Man.
That's absolutely insane. But, I mean, that was a prolific team.
Yep.
That's wild.
A lot more free throws being shot.
Yeah.
There's a lot more free throws being shot, a lot more fouls being called. And that's what's leading to where we are right now.
More defense being legislated out of the league.
Yep.
All right. Email number two comes from Sean in Costa Mesa, California. The Clippers severed ties with Chris Paul yesterday. Do you see the future Hall of Famer latching on somewhere else?
This is a shit show. It's a shit show. I don't like Chris Paul. I've never liked him. But the handling of this is all jacked up, right? Because first of all, they haven't cut him because they can't cut him because the NBA rules say you have to have a certain amount of players on your team. I think it's 14 or 15 mm-hmm. players or whatever it is. So they can't cut him. They can trade him, but who are you trading him to? And then if you did cut him, you wouldn't have enough money to sign anybody because you'd only have $1 million or $2 to sign a player, and you can't afford to sign a player for only that much money. This just wasn't thought out very well. I don't know what he did. I don't know what happened. But at the end of the day, he was historically a good player for the Clippers. Lob City really changed the dynamic and how everybody looked at the Clippers with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, and I want to say Redick was on that team, or
I think so.
Matt Barnes was on that team. Like, you know, there was I think they did him a little dirty here. And I think they really just jumped to conclusions. They jumped too quickly and didn't really think this out. So, you know, as much as I dislike Chris Paul, the way Lawrence Frank and the Clippers have handled this has been poor, very poor. So, latching on somewhere else. Right now, to be clear, he played all 82 games last year for the San Antonio Spurs. That is damn impressive for this old fuck who always gets hurt. So right now for the Clippers, he was like their third string, fourth string point guard kind of thing. And the Clippers, I think, are 6-16. So you're the backup's backup on a fucking terrible team, right? That's how good you are right now. I actually think the Rockets should call the Clippers. I think this would be a good idea for them. Or if you can somehow call a young team, you know, maybe Charlotte, go back to where it all began. Like, he would be, I think, helpful to a young team. I don't think him going to a veteran team or a team on the cusp is going to do anything because they can't really use him. But it's just really shocking that Kawhi Leonard or James Harden or nobody on the Clippers has come out and kind of went to bat for him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened or how this all came about, but what a mess. What a mess this whole Clippers situation is.
So there are allegations of clubhouse lawyering that Chris Paul is trying to kind of use his veteran status to kind of get in guys' faces and try and get people to, you know, actually be accountable. James Harden and Kawhi Leonard, you ain't going to get them to play.
But you have to assume that they knew that this was the kind of person he was when they brought him there.
You had to know that this was the kind of guy he was going to be. You shouldn't be surprised by any of his behavior or his
not at all.
Ty Lue is the coach there.
But that's also the scuttlebutt, that he and Lawrence Frank were somehow threatened by Chris Paul's positioning. He was trying to be like almost like a player coach kind of situation, you know. But I think there's really just he's not used to not playing.
Yeah.
Right? At this level. And, you know, you need to make him useful, right? You need to make him a piece, a meaningful piece. Now, you said Houston, and I agree with Houston. Another one is Minnesota to back up Ant. I think that could work just to kind of spell him. Okay, for a little bit, that. You know, as sure. A veteran presence along with Julius Randle, and you know, I think that's a potential landing spot. But ultimately, you could just trade him, and the other team can buy him out. Remember, like I think Russell Westbrook at one point was like a Utah Jazz, but you know, it was just like some random shit, and then they cut him. Like you trade him to buy him out. Like I think that's something down the road, but yeah, as far as latching on somewhere else of consequence. I think that ship has sailed. I think that ship has really sailed because, you know, unless he's going to get significant playing time, you're looking at what, 2.9 points a game this year?
Yeah,
he's averaging 3 points a game. Huh. Like, he may average more nut shots than he does actual points this year.
Guy sucks. You know,
three assists. He has as many points.
Gotta be one of the most overrated basketball players of all. The dude never won. He never won anything. How do we talk about him like he's John Stockton and shit? Like who are you? Like, he's Jason Kidd. Like, yeah. Who are you?
And Jason Kidd, it took Jason Kidd a while to get to the mountaintop. John Stockton.
Hold on, never got there. Hold on a second. Jason Kidd had the numbers.
Yes.
And Jason Kidd won a. Jason Kidd beat LeBron James, yes, and company to win an NBA title. Yes. Jason Kidd was a phenomenal college player, like one of the best athletes ever, Jason Kidd. So I don't see that when I see Chris Paul.
I mean, as far as life after basketball, right? You know, I don't. I mean, outside of the Cliff Paul commercials for State Farm, like,
oh jeez,
like I don't know if he's like I don't know if he would be a TV guy. Like I don't know if he would be an
God,
analyst.
I hope not.
Like, I don't think he's
got... I don't give a shit what he has to say. I don't want to see him. Go away.
I don't think he's
away.
Got the personality for it. Like, I think he might end up coaching.
Oh, jeez.
If this is how he wants to...
Somebody's going to PJ Carlissimo his ass.
if this is what is going to happen, right? If this is how he's going to go about it...
But this is the other thing that happens. People talk about you so much and gas your head and make you think you're this great player.
Yeah.
And then... when you can't play great anymore, that hurts your persona, that hurts your feelings, that hurts your character, and then you start acting out like this.
Right.
I mean, like I said, Z, by cutting him and cutting ties with him and telling him to go away, like sending him a one-way ticket out of, I think they were in Atlanta,
yeah,
just get out of here. You had to do something so egregious that they just didn't want to deal with you anymore. Well, we would rather you. We'll play with just 13 players, okay? And we'll just have you on the roster, and we'll just pay you to go home.
I do appreciate the irony. I do appreciate the irony that known snake in the grass Lawrence Frank was threatened by snake in the grass Chris Paul. Yeah. My man got Byron Scott fired.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, whatever happens to Chris Paul, like, say what you will about him.
Like, I will.
You know, he had a good career. He had a long career. It didn't have the hardware, right? It was a 12-time All-Star. But so he had, you know, he had a solid career. You can't take that away from him. Like, was he worth the pedestal that people put him on? That's debatable, right? You're pretty much guaranteed he's going to the Hall of Fame. Whether you agree or not, I think he's probably punched his ticket to Springfield. But, yeah, it's one of those things that you're the last person to know. And with the great athletes, sometimes they overstay their welcome. And in this case, I think that Chris Paul probably should have gotten out last year after a decent year in San Antonio. But yeah, another classic case of the guy not knowing he's dead. Just plain and simple. You just, the career is dead. He's just the last person to know.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Everton's Idrissa Gana Gueye. Don't smack your teammates. Moral of the story, don't slap your teammates on the field. Do it in locker room. But that's neither here nor there. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right. So first up, I've got the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, number 8, not number 12, Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Coming out of halftime against the Bills, you decided to drop back to pass and sit in the pocket and have a ham sandwich. Thinking you had like the best offensive line in football. Patting the ball, looking around, maybe trying to run a little bit, then stopping. And then Joey Bosa happened to your back and fell on you and your broken wrist. And while you laid there cuddling yourself in a fetal position, you had cut above your nose and you looked like you just tried to rob Kevin McAllister's house. You can't run around anymore. You're 41, 42 years old. You've got a broken wrist. If it's not there, dude, throw it away. If you keep trying to run around like you're Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, you're going to get put down like the old man you are. Aaron Rodgers, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number 2, the Steelers defense gave up a record 250 yards on the ground to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills ran the same play 29 times. 29 times. 29. We're running it this way because you can't stop shit. Does that sound like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense to you? Embarrassing. They need to step it up. Pittsburgh Steelers defense, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And my last one is a gem. The quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, Max Brosmer.
Ooh.
It is 4th and 1. Nobody's open. You're rolling out. Nobody's open. Somebody goes to tackle you. Nobody's open. You decide to underhand shovel it to a person who's double covered. Which leads to, guess what? Interception going the other way for a touchdown. The coach was so embarrassed for you that he said he blamed himself for you doing something so fucking stupid in a game. Again, if it's not there, just throw it away. Lay down. Fall down. Tell him a story. Spit in his ear. Just don't throw it. No, 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 no.
Oh, God.
Max Rosmer, you are my legend superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Okay, which one was worse, that or the Peter Man?
Oh, the Peter Six Man was bad. I just felt so bad for him. Just take him out, John. Just take him out.
For Christ's sake.
Just, he's had enough. Please.
Stop. He's already.
He's got a family.
By his dog.
His children go to school. Please, just take him out of the game. No, wait, it was Sean. Sean McDermott, right? Sean McDermott.
The Peter Man was so bad. Jeez.
He actually got another job after that.
Unbelievable.
Somehow. Somehow these people keep getting jobs.
And you know what? I don't know how Brosmer is going to play again, but you know what? If J.J. McCarthy can't go, you know, and you know, I
do
say,
me a favor. If you can't throw it overhand, then don't throw it at all.
Exactly. Just take the sack at that
you
point.
You just see him like he's rolling out, and he's wound up. You're going, no.
Now I got to make a tackle. Whee!
He was on the ground already because he got tackled. He watched the whole thing happen.
Oh my God. That was so bad.
It was so bad.
It was so bad.
He's just saying, no, don't. And I get it's fourth and one. Like, you're going to give them the ball anyway, yes. But you're not going to give them a touchdown. You basically handed it off to the dude.
I mean, it could be worse. It was fourth and 26, and Shedeur Sanders ran for 5 yards and slid.
Safe.
Turnover.
Fuck!
Oh.
Forgot
son
about
of a,
that.
I forgot about it. It was 21-yard. So, shit. God damn it. I'm going to start with Sonny Gray. This bitch. He's ingratiating himself very well to the Red Sox. At his introductory press conference, saying, it just wasn't a good fit for me, in reference to his time with the Yankees. It wasn't a great setup for me and my family. I never wanted to go there in the first place.
I saw that.
Slight problem. When they traded for him, they had a press conference. And how he was so happy to be out of Oakland and with a winning organization like the New York Yankees, beaming from ear to ear. Of course, this is before he ever set foot on the mound as a Yankee and got lit up and got torched. Quite the revisionist history from Mr. Sonny Gray. Prediction? Hey, Sonny Gray, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. Stop me when this sounds familiar. Guess who's hurt again?
Zion.
Oh, joy, old boy. Zion is once again on the shelf. Has there been a bigger bust in recent years? Has there been a guy who's been that big of a disappointment between questioning his commitment to the game because he can't stay in shape to his just inability to stay healthy? He's making Greg Oden blush in terms of inability to stay healthy. And Tim McMahon from ESPN somehow thinks that Zion's contract is favorable to he thinks people will trade for Zion Williamson. Why? Why would somebody trade for Zion? I mean, it's not like Giannis, right? Giannis has a calf strain. He's going to be out for a month. Okay, fine. Like, Giannis is Giannis. Like, you'd still make that trade. Maybe you won't send as much, but you're making that trade. What has Zion done in this league to make you think that teams would want him? Nothing. Zion Williamson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, the Giants. Jesus Christ. Somehow it got worse. They fired Shane Bowen, and somehow the defense got even worse. This time they didn't wait till the fourth quarter to suck. Dudes were wide fucking open. No coverage whatsoever. Running free on Monday night. Before you could put your friggin' drink down, it was 14-0. Like, it was a joke. It was an absolute joke of a performance by that defense. Jackson Dart looked flat. Like, the whole thing was just a poor showing from top to bottom. And if you thought, whatever hope you had, right, whatever interest you had in the Giants, but whatever flashes they showed with Mike Kafka as head coach and with Jameis Winston under center, it was gone. It was absolutely gone on Monday night. Whatever spark, whatever spice, whatever you want to call it, was not there. Going into the bye. We'll see. We'll see what happens when they come out of their bye. But you could not limp in worse than the Giants have limped in. New York Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And a bonus honorable mention, Lane Kiffin. What makes you think that Ole Miss was going to let you coach in the bowl game after you went to an SEC rival? Are you ballsy or stupid? I can't tell. I can't tell if you're ballsy or stupid. Lane Kiffin, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.